Okay, today's daf is Kuf Tet Vav. We're going to start at the bottom of Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Bet, a few lines before the Mishnah. Okay, it starts in there's two dots. Avalo Yikot Etzocho. We were talking about the bees, the swarms of bees, and it said that you can't cut off the branch that the bees are on from someone else's property and then pay him back the money. But we saw there that in the Mishnah there was another opinion of Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Barokah who said you're allowed to do that. Okay, now he's going to say that there's three things, I believe it's three, that are Tanai Beit Din. Okay, we learned this word Tanai, this term Tanai Beit Din in Ketubot, where we said that it's a Tanai Beit Din, that even if you don't write a ketubah, the woman gets a ketubah anyway. So Tanai Beit Din basically is another way of saying this is a given no matter what. Okay, this is what we assume. Tanai Beit Din hu, sheyored l'toch zdeh chavero, oh, and by the way, sorry, I wanted to just clarify, Tanai Beit Din is also, like in the ketubah case, what's the purpose of a Tanai Beit Din? To ensure the safety of the woman, right? It's a case where the Beit Din comes along and says, in order to ensure somebody's property or somebody's something, we're going to make a condition, a stipulation of the Beit Din. And we saw a bunch of these examples in the past, of somewhere in the middle of Bava Metzia. Sheyehe yored l'toch zadeh shel chavero, v'kotzei tzocho shel chavero lahatzil et nechelo. Right, so what do? You basically are allowed to go in, cut this branch, and then return the money to the guy. Okay, now we're going to talk about that's similar about all these cases is there's a case where there's a monetary loss for someone if they don't do something. We're going to allow them to do something even at the expense of somebody else under the condition that they pay back that person. So that person's going to lose some item of theirs, but they'll get paid back for it. So here's another case that we saw in the past. Tanai Beit Din hu sheyeh shofech yeino umatzil et duvshano shel chavero v'notel dmei yeino mitoch duvshano shel chavero. If you remember this case, we saw this in a few perspectives. The honey is more valuable than the wine. And therefore, if you're walking on the street, one guy has wine, one guy has honey, and the honey spills. So we can have the guy who owns the wine pour out his wine, right? That's what he should do. He should pour out his wine and catch the dvash of his friend. But now, this seems to contradict another Mishnah that we're going to see in a minute, the bottom of Kufta Bamon Aleph, that we also saw in the past. That what does it say there? Ze baba chavi. You can look at the bottom of Kufta Bamon Aleph for a minute. Ze baba chavito shel yayin v'ze baba kadosh shel dvash. Right, one guy's walking with his chavit, one guy's walking with his kav dvash. Nistika chavit shel dvash. Right, he gets a crack in it. V'shafach ze et yeino v'etzil et hadvash l'tocho. Ein lo elas charo. He doesn't get the value of his wine. He only gets the money he lost by spending his time doing this. He gets paid for his time, not for his wine. So obviously the question is, how do you relate to both these things? And we discussed this in the past. Right, so we say that the difference is that it's a matter of, did the owner of the honey ask him to do it? If he does it of his own volition and the owner of the honey just said, oh, forget it, I'll lose my dvash, then he only gets paid back his sachar. But in our Gemara, where they're talking about, oh, it's a Tanai Beit Din, is that you can, now even though it doesn't really match the words, right, it says, yei shofech, right, either you could say, just like Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Barokah disagrees with our Mishnah, he also disagrees with this Mishnah. But alternatively, what they explain is that what this means is, he's shofech yeino because the owner of the dvash asked him to. So if the owner of the dvash comes and says, I want you to do this, then what the chidush is, he has to do it. Okay, just like you can go in and cut off the branch. And he can't tell you, no, that's my branch, don't cut it. So you're allowed to force him to help you, to prevent your loss, and he can have less of a loss, but you have to obviously pay him for that loss. Okay, whereas if you don't ask him to do it, then, in other words, let's say with the socho case, what would be the case? You can't ask him, cut off your branch, bring it to me with my bees, and in other words, if he does it on his own and cuts off his branch, he can't go say, give me the money back for my branch. Okay, that would be the comparison. So only when you ask him to. Next case, it's similar. Utnai Beit Din hu shehe mefarek et etza v'toem pishtano shel chavero. Okay, let's say you're both walking with a donkey, and one donkey stops walking, and one's got pishtan, and the other one's got etzim. Pishtan flax is worth more than the etzim. So again, you can make him take off his etzim, take his donkey to carry your pishtan. and notel d'mei etzav, right? And then he can get payback for the d'mei etzim. Mitoch p'shanot shel chavira. Shal menat ken, if you remember now, all of a sudden we'll remember the context. Al menat ken echil Yoshua l'Israel et ha'aretz, right? We said that Yoshua made these takanot in order to make people live in the land properly and with the proper relationships. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamakir kelav usfarav b'yad acher. You're standing around, you go into your friend's house and you say, hey, that's my thing that they stole from me. Okay, now he's not accusing you of stealing, but he's saying, that's my thing that got stolen. Assumption is, you must have bought it from the robber. So now what happens? Do I get to take it from you? Do I, right? Well, how does it work? So, now, if it just happens and we have no idea whether you were robbed or not, right? If I come into your house and nobody knows I'd ever been robbed, then we can't do anything about it because I could just be claiming that, right? It's just my word. But if yatsalo shem gneva ba'ir, it was known that I had been robbed, you right? Everyone had heard my alarm go off that night and, you know, or I don't know, somehow it was known, right? It was talked about. Yishavala lokeach kama natan b'yito. So the lokach swears, I went into your house, so you swear and you say, I paid this and this for it, so I take my item back and I give you the money, and then I can try to find the money from the ganav. But in other words, I get to take the item back because the item is mine. So I get to take it back from you, I have to pay you the money, like in the last case where we just said, right, I have to pay you the money of what you spent, and you have to swear to me what you spent, because otherwise, who knows? Okay, ve'im lav. But let's say there is no shame geneva ba'ir. Lo kol heimenu, shani omer, mecharan la'acher, ulekachan ze heimenu. If there's no shame geneva ba'ir, maybe it was mine, and we could prove that it was mine a year ago, but who knows, maybe I sold it to the guy who sold it to you. In other words, that's a good basic assumption, right? We can't assume that it was stolen. Okay, now we're going to have, okay, that's the simple reading, but we're going to have all sorts of issues that are going to come up as a result of this. Okay, that we're going to change a little bit the cases of the Mishnah. Okay, so v'chi yatzah lo shem geneva ba'ir mai have, just because there was shem geneva ba'ir, so what? Lichush dilmazav ninu v'hu nihu kamafik shma. Maybe he actually sold it and he spread the rumor, right? How often do you know, it happens here, there's a lot of robberies. I got a text yesterday from a friend across the street who said, just to let you know, I got robbed last night. Oh, yeah. So, right. In other words, this goes on all the time. But maybe she made it up so that, right? So that, obviously I'm not accusing her of that. But in other words, in this mission, what would we say? If I know that I sold it and I want to get it back, so I could just say, oh, I was robbed last night, and then I'll spread the rumor. And okay. So, because of that issue, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kigon, now he's going to say the case is, wait, not a general case of robbery, but Kigon Shabbat B'nai Adam B'toch Beito, there were people in his house, that were staying in his house, and then he says, hey, I have these people staying in my house, and they walked out with all my stuff. Okay. So now they say, wait a minute, Kol Shekein Ilam Atzah, that's all the more so, if we're suspicious of this guy, he says, ah, here's my perfect out. It's a great way to say I got robbed. I'll say there were these people staying in my house, and they walked out. So Rav Kahana Masayim Bamashmei Rav Kigon Shaitam Bachteret Chaturah B'toch Beito U'Bnei Adam Shelanu B'toch Beito Yatzu V'Avur Kira'ot Shel Kelim Al Ktefehem V'Akol Amrim Nigru Kelav Shaploni. It was a case where he had this basement dug out, okay? It sounds like almost they dug out a basement to sneak out of his house. They walked out with Kalim on their backs, you know, and everybody saw them, and people said, Mignibu Kalim. And that's the kind of rumor we're talking about, which is more than just a rumor. Exactly. So now they say, wait, just because people were saying Mignibu Kalav Shaploni, notice what the Mishnah said, Hamakir Kalav Usfarav, and his scrolls. So Dilma Kalim Havu, but Sfarim Lo Havu, right? People said he stole Kalim, but how did they know they also stole Sfarim? We're getting this case down to a very specific case of this Mishnah. They said, oh, we saw them carrying Kelim and Sferim. But maybe they carried out little books and he's claiming big scrolls. Said they stole this particular book. But so what if he says this? In other words, the people said, oh, we saw the Ganavim carrying a book of the Torah. You know, or some book. So now they say, well, Dilma Havu Atike V'Katan Chadete, maybe it was old books they took out, and he's claiming it was my brand new scroll that's in great shape and worth more money. So Amar Rav, Kigon De Amre Halalu kelav shaploni, halalu sraf shaploni. Okay, where they say, these were the ones that we saw that he stole. Okay? They said, you know, we see him stealing this particular book of Ploni. It's exact one. Okay, so according to that, what do we assume? That this whole case, right, according to Rav, people came into his house, they stole, people saw them walking off with exactly what he claimed, right? And then he sees it in somebody else's house, so he can take it and pay the money. But if not, he can't. So now they say, wait a minute. You're saying this is what Rav said about the Mishnah. Umi Rav Hachi, v'hama Rav, bama machter v'natal kelim v'yatza patur. My time, bidame kananu. So now what do we say? Wait a minute. Rav says in general, if you have a ganav, he actually, this is a real chidush, okay? We have to get a little background to understand this. The din of baba machteret, if you ever learned those psukim there also, you know this famous halacha, that if you come secretly at night, so the assumption is that you're trying not to have the guy right see you, but the guy's in the house. If you come during the day, so the assumption is people aren't home. If you come at night to rob, you know the people are in the house. What do you know? That no one's going to let a robber come into their house without fighting against them. Therefore, he knows you might try to, and as he comes with it, with the assumption
the risk of his life.
That, right, that he might have to kill you, which means that he's planning to kill you, okay, this guy. A ganav comes at night, the assumption is he will likely try to kill you. If he likely tries to kill you, as what happens then, the halacha is that if a ganav is in your house at night, you're allowed to kill him because the assumption is it's self-defense. Okay, this is a halacha we can debate from here till tomorrow because, you know, nowadays ganavim at night, generally they say they're not coming to hurt you, they're just coming to take your stuff and leave. But anyway, that was their assumption, you come at night. There's different ways of reading this, we're going to learn this to get much better in Sanhedrin when we get to it. But what's the assumption here though? Since at the moment he's in your house, he's as if he's chayav the death penalty because you're allowed to kill him. So bidamek. So now what's the issue? Since he's chayav the death penalty because at that moment you're allowed to kill him. Okay, this is there's a different tfisa about whether you're allowed to kill him because you're functioning as the Beit Din or you're allowed to kill him because it's pure self defense, right? So if even Rodev could be viewed as you're functioning on behalf of the Beit Din. Okay. So if we view it that way, then you know, this whole sugya makes a lot of sense, more according to the viewpoint that the whole halakha of baba machteret is you're functioning as the Beit Din. Because then what do we say? We say that, well, since you're functioning as the Beit Din, and at that moment he's in your house, you can kill him, right? So it's as if he has the death penalty on his head. If he has the death penalty on his head, what do we say? Kimle bidirabamine, right? What does that mean? It means that when you have two punishments, you only have to pay the higher punishment. So therefore, he's patur from monetary payment. So now, there's two ways that we view this. What's the patur for monetary payment? So Rava, not the person who we're reading right now, but Rava says, that means that if you are a robber and you go into someone's house at night, so you're high of the death penalty, so you're patur from monetary payment. So what does that mean? It means if you break something on the way out, you knock over a vase, you smash something, you know, you accidentally you break something, you're patur for damages. That makes a little more sense than what Rav's going to say. But Rav says, since you're a thief and you're going into someone's house and you're chayav the death penalty when you're there, because if they were to catch you, they would try to kill you and you would try, you know, you could get killed. Therefore, bedame kananu, and therefore, he's patur from any monetary payment. Well, if he stole your stuff, he doesn't have to pay for your stuff. Okay, it's a radical shita. We don't pass them this way. However, Rav is the one who said it, and Rav is the guy we're talking about right now. Yeah.
In either case, they don't have to pay for damages if they...
Right, they don't have to pay for damages,
right,
according to all the opinions. Yes, because they say that he was... Okay, we're going to learn this much better when we get to Sanhedrin. So, okay, so now, so what do they say? Okay, so therefore... Anyone who's Bab Machteret should be Patur. So why are you talking about these Ganavim that were in your house? We're at the very bottom of Kufyu Dalet Amabet. So why are we talking about these Ganavim that came into your house and they're going to have to pay you back? Right? What's going to happen? Remember, you find your Kalim in someone's house, you say, hey, you know, that was mine. You bought it from someone who stole it from me. Give me back the money and I'll go take it up with the Ganav. But the Ganav shouldn't have to pay. So now, what do we say? Hanemile de Kananu. So Hanemile, we should say here also dekanan. Okay, and therefore you wouldn't be able to get it back. So what do they say? Bebaba machteret meikara masar nafshe lekala. Oh, sorry. Hane mila de kananhu, when we say he was kona, that's only a baba machtera case. Demiikara masar nafshe lekatla. Because he came into your house willing to be moser his nefesh, knowing he might get killed doing this. It was a risk he took. But because of that risk, he bought himself the rights to not have to pay. Aval hane, but these people who were living in your house and then walked out with your stuff, but they don't have the same deen because they didn't go into your house with the intent to that maybe you'll threat. They weren't ever going to get killed because they were living in your house for a night or however long they were staying in your house, and then they walked off with all your stuff. Okay, so therefore you can't bring a contradiction from there. Amara lo shanu. Now this whole thing that we said that you have to have a shem gnei baba ear, that the only way, if you walk into someone's house and you say, hey, that's mine, you must have bought it from someone who stole it from me, the halacha is you're allowed to take it, you just have to pay him back the money that he paid for it. So now, Rava says, that's only el balabayit asoilim kor kelav. Okay, so we said that whole halacha is only in the case where there's shame gneva ba'ir, that people know there was a robbery, because if people didn't know there was a robbery, right? And then we went to the extent to say, not only do they know there was a robbery, they know what was stolen, they know exactly what was stolen, and you're claiming that's exactly what it is. But that's only shabalabayit asoilim kor kelav. You have to have all that evidence when it's a guy who generally sells stuff of his. Okay, he's a merchant. Because then it's very easy to say, oh, I'm a merchant, and you know, he was just trying to lie about it. So it has to be a case where things were stolen from him. But a regular balabayit, she'eno asoilim kor kelav, lo tzarif ladore ele kulei hai. He doesn't need to go to the extent to say, we saw exactly this was stolen. You understand, a merchant can start claiming anything then, right? He'll go and he sold stuff to people and he'll go say, hey, I never sold that, that's mine. And what does the guy know? Because he was the third party. He wasn't the guy who got it sold to directly. So if he's a merchant, then you have to go to the extent to show, prove exactly what was stolen. If he wasn't a merchant, then you just need a rumor that he was robbed. Like I told you, my neighbor who said I was robbed. Once she says that, we're not worried that she's making things up and she's trying to, get stuff back somehow that she had sold. Okay. V'dilma itzrich lezuzei v'zachdim. But maybe the guy really needed money and he did sell his stuff. In other words, even though normal balei batim don't start selling their furniture and their other things, maybe they were stripped for cash and they needed money and they sold their stuff. But in other words, the rumor is enough to dispel that idea. So we now have, if you're a regular guy, it's enough to have a shem k'nei baba ir for you to do it. If you're a merchant, then you have to have proof that people saw robbers coming out of your house carrying the stuff specifically that you said that you found in this guy's house. Okay, next part. Itmar. Ganav umachar v'achar kach hukar haganav. Let's say you steal, and then you sell the item. The robbers, right? You steal, and then you sell it to somebody else. So the same kind of thing. There's a third party here. V'achar kach hukar haganav. And now we find the robber. So now the question is, who do you go to? If you're the owner and you want to get your stuff back, do you go to the robber? Or can you go still to the in-between guy, the guy who bought it? So, we're going to have a machloket. You can start looking at the chart now on the sheet. Rav Mishmei de Rabbi Chiya Amar Hadinim Harishon. He deals directly with the robber. Okay, that's what Rav says. Rabbi Yochanan Mishmei de Rabbi Yana Amar Hadin Im Asheni. Okay, and the assumption is he means either with the Rishon or with the Sheni. In other words, you can choose. And why would you want to choose? We've seen this before. Because sometimes it's difficult to get it from the Ganav. So we allow you to get it straight from the guy who bought it off the Ganav. And then again, what would happen? The guy who bought it would have to take judgment, would have to take his case to the... what would happen? Then he would pay him, right. He would pay him the money, and then he would go try to get the money from the ganav. So the truth is he would get his item back, but he would still be out of money until he dealt with the ganav directly. So Amar of Yosef. So now we're going to have four ways to understand this machloka between them. The first way is to say they're actually not even arguing. They're talking about different situations. Okay? Amar of Yosef lo pligi. Kan lifnei yeush hadini marishon. Kan la'achar yeush, I'm sorry, hadini marishon. Kan la'achar yeush hadini marishon. Utravayu idlu d'Rav Chista. Okay, before we read this inside, but explain this, we have to remember Rav Chista. If you remember, what did Rav Chista say on the Mishnah? Hagozel u'machil panav, right? If you your children consume what you did, or you somebody else consumes it. So what did Rav Chista say? If the Baalim, the original owners, had never given up on getting their stuff back, they were still looking for the robber, hoping to get it back, then the item is still 100% in their possession. And therefore, when the Ganav sold it to somebody else, he sold someone else's property, remember? And then, therefore, when somebody bought it, they basically bought stolen property, and therefore, they're just as, they didn't know they were doing this, but they basically bought stolen property, and therefore, Ratzami Zegove. He can go to whoever he wants, because they're both in the wrong, because it was someone else's property. Once there's Yeush, what do we say? Okay, let's just review. Once the guy is Mikyaesh, we say there's Yeush, and then there's Shinoi Rishut, remember? And if we say, right, remember, Ganav, Gazlan doesn't acquire the item when he steals it, but if he does some sort of change to it, in this case he sells it to someone else, Yeush and Shinoi Rishut is Kone. And therefore, if it's Kone, what's going to be? The second guy bought it fair and square, and therefore the only thing he can do is go back to the Ganav. Okay, so now.
The selling to the second guy
is the Shinoi Rishut.
So he takes it to his own property, it's not considered Shinoi
Rishut. Right, exactly. Okay, he has to take it to someone else's property, sell it to someone else. So now, comes Rav Yosef and he says, it's very simple. One of them was talking about before Yeush, and that means then he could do Ratzami Zegove, like Rav Chista. And the other was saying, Lachar Yeush, and after Yeush, well, you can only deal with the robber. Okay, and then according to this, both of them would agree with what Rav Chista said, that Ratzami Zegove, in a case where there wasn't yet Yeush.
And it doesn't matter whether the buyer of the stolen goods knew or didn't know that they were stolen.
Right.
That's not an issue.
Right, it's not an issue because we're worried about the... Okay, we're going to see soon that there's a concern. There's something called Takanat HaShavim. What is Takanat HaShavim? We're worried that... Takanat HaShuk. We're worried that people will stop buying items in the shuk if they're worried that someone might come and steal it. So we make a takana for those people that they can, in other words, the whole takana for them is exactly the halacha that we saw, which is that they're allowed to demand the money. When the owner comes and says, that's my stolen item, so they can swear what they spent on it, and he will reimburse them for what they spent. And that's called takana hashuk. Because even though they took a stolen item, right, it's not their fault. They didn't do anything wrong. And therefore, they lose the item, but they do get paid back for it. So in the end, they haven't lost anything. That's called takanat hashuk. Okay, so now, Amalei Abai, the lo pligi, what do you mean? Rav and Rabbi Yochanan really aren't arguing about this? Vaha matnot kihuna kelefnei yeushdame upligi. Now he's going to show from a different case that we have some other case about before Yeush, and there's an argument between them about it. Okay, now, why is Matnot Kuna a case of Kilifnei Yeush? First of all, what's Matnot Kuna? These are when you have to give, like the Keva, for example. This is the case we're going to see. The Keva, the stomach, goes to the Kohen of the meat. So now, you're supposed to give that meat to the Kohen, and instead you sell it with the rest of the meat that you're selling. So now, what's the assumption? The assumption is you're selling stolen goods because this belongs to the Kohen. You haven't given it to the Kohen, right? So now, why is it before Yeush? Because the assumption is you owe it now to all the Kohanim that are out there. Now, all of them haven't said, oh, I'm mityaesh from getting this matana, right? There is no Yeush in that case. So therefore, they're going to prove, matno yakuna, we already know, doesn't have Yeush. It's like it's before Yeush. And we're going to see they argue. So that disproves of Yosef, who tried to say these guys don't argue about a case of before Yeush. So let's see. Ditnan. Amar lo mechur li me'eha shal para. V'hayu bahem matanot. A guy comes into the butcher shop and says, sell me this piece of, the innards of the para, of the cow. And there were matanot kiuna inside. Notnan lekohen ve'eino menakelo min adamim. He has to, if he buys this piece of meat with the matnot kuna inside, he has to give it to the Kohen, and he can't deduct the sum from the price that he's paid the butcher. Lakach emenu b'mishkal, but if it was weighed, in other words, if it was just a base price, you go into the store, and there's a piece of meat, and right nowadays we weigh all the meat, but let's say it wasn't weighed, and he said, here's a piece of meat for X amount of money. But if it was b'mishkal, then notno lekohenu minakelo minadabim. Okay, but it's according to Mishkal, so right, some of it doesn't really belong to him because it has to go to the Kohen, so he deducts it. Ba'amar Rav, comes Rav and he says, wait, lo shanu ela shashakal la'atzmo. If you went into the store and you did your own measurement, you weighed it yourself, okay, which doesn't happen nowadays, but imagine you go into a butcher shop, you weigh it, then we'll say that you can give it, right, then you're going to basically say to the butcher, I'm giving you, right, this weighs a kilo, I'm paying you only for 0.9 of a kilo because I know that, you know, 10% of this, let's just say, I'm just a random amount, let's say that 10% of this is to the Kohen, and therefore I'm not paying you for that amount. Aval shakalo hatabach, but if the tabach weighed it, and then the assumption is that he overcharged you for stolen items, then hadini matabach. Then what do you see here? The rule is with the tabach, meaning when the Kohen goes to get his piece, his matanah, he has to go to the tabach to get the money for it. He can't go to the guy who bought it, because the tabach was the robber. What do you see here? The din is with the ganav, even though it was before Yeush. What did Rav Chisda say? Ratzami zegove. So what do you see? There's a machloket about it. So, because remember, the Tanakhama said it doesn't matter, right? Rav said it depends who weighed it. It depends whether the tabach was actually trying to steal from him. So therefore, you see they're arguing. But now they answer it up and they say, no, ema af dini matabach. Maybe it means you can even go to the tabach. So now why would you say even go to the tabach, right? That would be your first assumption. You can go to the ganav himself. But why does it say even a tabach? Ma'u detema ma'ei matnot ki'unan nigzalot. Ka mashmalan. You might have thought that there's no gzela because they don't actually belong to anybody. So maybe there's no issue of gzela here. So it comes to tell you, no, there's an issue of gzela, and therefore you can even get it from him, which means that Rav Yosef has supported his opinion that it could be, they all agree, about Ratzami Zegoveh, Matzanot Kuna is a unique case. It's not a unique case. It's that when it says Hadini Matabach, it doesn't mean it's only with the Tabach. It means Ratzami Zegoveh, you can even go to him. And there was just a separate, he was trying to teach you a chidush about Matzanot Kuna. Ula Abai Da'amar Plige. But now Abai thinks they are Cholei, because he disagreed with Rav Yosef. So, but my Plige, what's their machloket then? Very simply, Bidur Rav Chisda. According to Abaye, the machloket is, do we hold like Rav Chisda, that before Yeush, Ratzami Zegoveh? Or according to Rav, no, we don't hold like Rav Chisda. And before Yeush, you could still only go to the ganav. Back like to what Ani was saying, what did this guy who bought it do wrong? Well, what are you bothering him about? It's between you and the ganav, and the guy who bought it, it goes off, you know, without getting bothered. Rav Zvid Amar, third interpretation, Kigon Shinit Yashua Balim B'yad Lokeach, V'lonit Yashu B'yad Ganav. The Yeush happened only after it was sold to the second guy. Okay? Until now, we were saying there was Yeush, and then there was Shinoi Rishut. Now what happened? The Shinoi Rishut happened before the Yeush. So now the machloket's going to be like this. Behapli mar savar Yeush v'achar kach Shinoi Rishut kane. Right? When do we say it's kone? When it's Yeush, and then Shinoi Rishut. But shinoi reshut achar kach yeush lo kani. But if you first change the reshut and only after does he have yeush, that's not going to work. Umar savar loshna. Right? It doesn't matter the order. No matter what, we consider yeush. Okay. So therefore, if you're going to say shinoi reshut and then yeush works, then what would you say? Then in that case, you have to deal with the ganav because there was yeush. If you say it doesn't work, then we're going to treat it as if it was before yeush, even though there was yeush, but the yeush happened too late, you know, in the wrong order. And therefore, it's like it's before yeush, in which case he can go and deal with whoever he wants to. Okay, Rav Papa Amar, Biglima, Dekulei Amalo Pligi Dehadar Lamare. If you're talking about, like, he took a cloak. So obviously, the cloak itself is going to go back. That's obvious. What's the machloket? Meaning you go to the lokeach and you get back your item, whatever it was. Everyone agrees about that. But hacha basubo takanat hashuk kamiflege. The machloket is, did they make a takanat hashuk in this case? Rav Mishmei de Rabbi Chiya Amar hadina marishon. Dina de lokeach de lish kalzuzi miganav belo asubo takanat hashuk. That the dina marishon, right, that they say basically, you go straight to the, 1 second, Dina de lokeach de lishko zuzi miganav, v'lo asubo takanat hashuk, and then Dina de lokeach de lishko mibal abayit, asubo takanat hashuk. Right, the lokeach, right, he says, hadini marishon, you go straight to the ganav, because Dina de lokeach, 1 second, I can't remember exactly how this works.
Um,
Right, the lokeach can only get his money from the ganav. Right, when you, what happens? You go, remember, what did we say? You go get your item back, but he has to pay you, right? You have to pay him the money for it. So according to this, he says, no. There's no takanat ashuk in this case. In other words, Rav says, the lokeach gets the item taken away from him, but there's no takanat ashuk that makes it easy for him to get the money. He's got to go straight to the ganav to get the money. Okay, and lo asu takanat ashuk. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Hadinim hasheni, in other words, he goes and gets the money from the lokeach, and dina de lokeach, delishkol mi balabayit, and the lokeach is allowed to take it from balabayit, basubo takanat ashuk. Right, you can get your item back, your stolen item, but you have to pay the money for it. Okay, so now we say, v'sever rav lo asubo takanat ashuk. How could you say that rav, in other words, the point is that rav doesn't hold by takanat ashuk, and therefore, the halakha here is that the lokeach goes, it's not who does this, the guy who was robbed go, it's the lokeach has to go. Does he go to the ganav, or can he get it from the balabayit? So, according to Rav, he can't go to the balabayit and get his money back for it. He has to go to the ganav, meaning there is no takanat ashuk. So, does Rav really hold that lo asubo takanat ashuk? Baha, we had this case, the Rav Huna Talmidei de Rav Hava. Okay, Rav Huna was Rav's Talmid. Had a case with Hanan Bisha. We've seen him before. This bad guy, Hanan, known to be a bad guy. Ganav Glima Bezavna. He stole a cloak and he sold it. Ata the Kamedu Rav Huna. Amar Leila Ugavra Zil Sharei Avitatech. In other words, go and return it and get, right, go take your item and give the money back to the, you know, pay him, basically. So what do they see here? That he didn't tell him to go to the Ganav. He held by Takanat Ashuk. You can get the money from the Baalim. So what do they say? Oh, Shani Hanan Bisha, he was an exception. Right? In other words, so one second. I meant to say one important thing. It's not that Rav doesn't hold Takanat Ashuk. He doesn't hold Takanat Ashuk in the case where we know who the Ganav was. That's what I forgot to mention. I knew I was forgetting something. When we don't know who the Ganav is, so for sure we have Takanat Ashuk. You can get your money back. If we know who the Ganav is, then your responsibility, according to Rav, is to go to the Ganav himself. So comes this case, and they said, well, Rav didn't hold so in this case, or at least Rav Huna's student didn't. The assumption is he went like his Rav. So what do we say here? In this case, the guy was a bad guy. There was no way he was going to get his money from the Ganav. So it's as if we don't know who the Ganav is. Because then the seller, the buyer, is not going to have any way to get his money back. Okay, so that was an exception. So Amar Rav, im Ganav mefursamhu, lo asubo takanat ashuk. That's, if he was a ganav before some, then dafka you have to do a takanat ashuk to allow, otherwise people won't buy anything. V'achanan bisha dim before some hava, v'asubo takanat ashuk. So what do they say? Nihidim before some l'bishuta l'gnevata lo before some. He was known to be a bad guy. He wasn't known to be a robber. He was known to be a bad guy. So because he was a bad guy, we didn't think we were going to get our money from him. But it's not like he was a known thief. Okay. Itmar. Ganav upara bechovo, ganav upara behekefo, lo asubo takanat ashuk. Now we're going to have other cases where they didn't do takanat ashuk. What's takanat ashuk? The idea is that people should be allowed to go and buy in the shuk without worrying what's going to happen, right? That someone's going to come along and take it back from them. But that fear does not exist when you're paying back a loan. When a malva and a lova, first of all, get into a relationship, they have a trusting relationship. Otherwise, they wouldn't get, right? The malva wouldn't lend the lova money if he didn't think he was going to be an honest guy. So when the Lobe goes to pay back the money, if he gives him an item, we're not worried that maybe it was stolen, and therefore, if it really was stolen, and the guy comes to claim his original thing, then there's no takanat ashuk that the Mava will have to pay him back, okay? In other words, there's no issue here about takanat ashuk because it's not a sale. Da'amre, lo adatu duhanu yahavit lemidi. In other words, that's not why he was giving him the item. It wasn't as part of a sale. Mashkanta, now they're going to give cases. Mashkanta shave matan b'mea. Asubo takanat ashuk. If someone gave a mashkon, a collateral, okay, now here's a little bit of a weird thing, right? I would have assumed collaterals, generally people give a lower collateral than the actual amount. Here we're going to basically say that the typical collateral was when you gave it for either less than or about the original amount, okay? But if you gave it for more than the original amount, like you gave a mashkon, shave matan, 200, for a loan that was mea, asubo takanat ashuk. They did give a takanat ashuk here, but shave, amemar amar lo asubo takanat ashuk, marzutra amar asubo takanat ashuk. Okay, so there's a machloket if it was shave b'shave. And here in the notes, it's unclear whether you add this or don't add it. Hilchata subo takanat ashuk. In the end, they say with a mashkon, you do takanat ashuk. Zvina shave b'shave, asubo takanat ashuk. Shave mea b'matan, if you sold something. Now, what if you make a sale and you sell a 100 shekel item for 100 shekel? So there, obviously, asubo takanat ashuk. But what if shave mea b'matan? Let's say you sell an item for double the price of what it's worth. Okay, this is interesting. So Rav Sheshan Amar, lo asubo takanat ashuk, because the assumption is that you were kind of giving away money, right? When you pay so much, it's almost like you're saying, I'm giving a gift to the guy who sold it to me, because you know that you're paying way more than the market price and you're willing to pay it anyway. It's not really a sale. In other words, the whole question here is, when it's not like a sale, then there's going to be no takanat ashuk. But Rava Amar, asubo takanat ashuk, because what's Rava's perspective? Right? We always pay way more than the market value, right? How many times do you go into a store, right? Tons of people pay way more than the market value. That's the way sales work. So basically, that's a sale. You can't call that a gift. V'hilchata b'kulu asubo takanat ashuk levar miganabu parah b'chavo ganabu parah b'hekefo. So now they say the halacha is there's always takanat ashuk except for those cases where he's paying back a loan or paying back a hakafa. I forgot to explain. That's like when you go to a store and you say, I'll pay you later. Okay, so if he's paying back the money that he owes, it's kind of like paying back a loan. So in those cases, it don't take another shuk. Avimi Barnaze, Chamua de Ravina, Havamasik Bahu Gavar Arba Azuze. Okay, Avimi, who was the father-in-law of Ravina, had a case with a guy who owed him 4 zuzim. Ganav Glima, the guy stole a cloak, Atyan Nihale, and he gives it to Avimi, the stolen item. Ozfe Arba Azuze Achrine, and then he lends him another 4 zuzim. So now, what's the debate here, okay? The issue is that he gave him this glima. It's unclear whether he was paying back the original loan with it, or since he lent him money right after, was he giving it as collateral so the guy would trust him and give him another loan? So if it's paying back his chov, then we're going to say there's no takanat ashuk. If it's not paying the chov, but it's a mashkom, we say there is takanat ashuk. So l'sofu kara ganav, we found the ganav, atza l'kamei de Ravina, amar, Kamai ganav upara b'chovo b'lo bai l'meitavle. In other words, he was giving back his loan, and therefore you don't have to. There's no takanat ashuk. You don't have to give it back to him, and you know he doesn't have to pay you the money for it. B'lo midi. Hanach arba azuze achrine shkol zuzech. One second. Kamai ganav upara b'chovo b'lo bai l'meitavle b'lo midi. And hanach arba azuze achrine shkol zuzcha b'hadro glime. About the last 4, take your zuz, and one second, I want to make sure I'm totally understanding this. Right, the 4 zuzim arishonim are like we said, there's a ganavu para b'chavo. And therefore, the baalim don't have to give you any money back for the glima, right? In other words, he could take his glima, and he doesn't have to pay you the money because there's no takanat ashavim. But the last 4 zuzim that basically you gave him a loan based on that, there is a takanat hashuk. And therefore, you can basically demand your 4 zuzim and he can return you, I guess he can return you the glima. That's the idea? Right. He should return you the glima then. So matke flower of Kohen, the dilma glima, maybe the glima, bahanach zuze kama yave niale, ganavu para b'chovo, ganavu para b'hekefo, ba'arba zuze batrai, hemune hemnua. Maybe the last 4 had absolutely, when he gave him the 4, when he gave him the second loan, it had nothing at all to do with the glima. So maybe, you know, there is no, the glima has no connection to the last one. Ki hecha dehemne mi'ikara, igal gil milta, ki hecha dehemne mi'ikara, okay? Just like he believed him and gave him the loan in the first place. So in other words, don't look at this mashkon as connected to the last part. Igal gel milta, mata the kamei to Rabbi Abau. Well, the matter continued and he kept pursuing it further. He goes to Rabbi Abau Amar. Hilchata ki Rav Kohen. Okay, we paskin like Rav Kohen that the glima was not connected with the last part. Okay, now we have another case. Narsha, a guy from Narash, ganav safra. Okay, he stole a book or a scroll. Zavne le papunai, he sold it to someone living in Papunai, bitamnan. Zuze. He sold it for 8 zuzim. Aza papunai.
This is 80.
Oh, sorry. 80 zuzim. Aza papunai. Zavne levar mechoza b'mea ve'esrim zuze. Okay? The next guy sold it. Okay, now we're adding another person to the case. Okay, he now sells it for 120. Lesofu karaganav. Amar Abaye, lezo mari de safra, the owner of the scroll, should go, v'yadle labar mechoza timnin zuze. He should give 80 zuzim to the bar mechoza guy. Okay, because remember, the bar mechoza guy bought it for 120. He gets back his 80 because the first guy, right, who sold it, only sold it for 80. So he gets 80, and he now really should get 120 back, though, because he bought it for 120. So Shakil Saf, right, okay, the Shakil Safra, so he gets his book back. But now the Bar Mechoza guy, what should he do? Aza Bar Mechoza, the Shakil Arba'imi Papunan. In other words, the fact that he overbought is not the fault of the other person. So the person who owned it pays the 80, the first price. The person who paid 120 goes back and demands the extra 40 from the guy who sold it to him for extra money.
What if the 80 was too much also? Maybe
right, that's a good, 60. But it doesn't matter because he gets whatever he sold it for. Remember, the guy has to swear what I bought it for, but in this case, he doesn't get what he bought it for because there was another guy, and he could demand it from him. Matke plarab, hashta lokeach mi ganav, asubo takanada shuk, lokeach mi baye. Why do you even say this? Obviously, if you're lokeach mi ganav, and they made a takanada shuk, so obviously, if you bought from someone who bought, well, the more so. Ela amarava, leza mari de safra viable labar mechoza mea eshrim zuze, b'shaka safre, b'leza mari de safra v'lishkol arba'im ipupunai utamna mi narshai. In other words, you might have thought that, so Rava thinks that really it should be different. It should be that the guy who owns the book should basically pay the first guy the 120, then he goes back and gets extra money from him, and he goes back and gets extra money from him. Okay, so that's what he claims that they have to do.
I'm confused about your hymns. I'm not sure it matters, but he goes back and collects it from him, and he goes back and collects it from him.
Okay, so he goes back and he collects, and that's what happens. The guy takes his book and he pays 120 to the last guy who actually paid 120. Then he wants to collect his money back from the guy who stole it. So what does he do?
The original owner.
So he now goes to the Papunai guy and gets the 40 that he overcharged for it. And then he gets the 80 back from the Narshai guy who actually stole it from him. So it's his responsibility to start going
like
back.
The original owner do too much
right.
Work.
Yeah, you
that's
are.
Not fair.
Right. Yeah, he thinks that, in other words, because what does he say? That's Takanat Hashuk. That basically it becomes the owner's responsibility to get the money back because we want to allow people to be able to buy freely. Okay, let's go on a little bit more. Remember, this is all, right? If you're walking with a chavit, it cracks, your dvash is worth more than the yayin. If the guy's a nice guy with the yayin, he spills out his wine, he gives you his thing to collect it, right? But you didn't ask him to do it, he just gets paid for his time. But if he said, Atzilat Shalcha, I'll do it if you pay me the money for my wine, and you agree, then obviously you have to pay him. Shataf Nachal Chamoro, the Chamor Chavero. The Nachal came and wiped out, you know, knocked over his Chamor and his friend's Chamor. In other words, his friend's was worth more than, Shelo Yafem Maneh, Shel Chavero Matayim. His was worth 100 and his Chavero was Matayim. So he niach ze et Shelo, v'hitzil et Shel Chavero. So he leaves his own parcel and saves his friend's parcel. Ein lo ela scharo. He only gets his time. Im amar lo ani etzil Shel Chava, ta noten li et Sheli, ven chayav li ten lo. Okay, so now the big question is going to be here, a whole separate question, which is, when your chavit broke and your dvash is about to spill out, right? And the guy with the yayin comes and saves your dvash, at that moment when your thing cracked, what were you thinking?
You were thinking about
you were thinking. No, you were thinking, you were thinking, my honey's gone. And if you're thinking your honey's gone, what do we call that? You're a mafkir, right? It's like yayush. What happens with the Yeush? Your mafkir. You say, this is ownerless. So the Gemara says, V'amai, lemalhe, mehev kera kazachina. In other words, shouldn't the owner of the wine, who dumped his wine and gets the dvash, shouldn't he say, now the dvash is mine? Because it was ownerless. So, mi lo tanya, and don't we have a brayta that says, hold off on your questions till the end, just because I want to get moving. Okay, he's carrying these kadim and he sees they're about to break. Lo yomar harezet trumat umaser al pirot sheyesh li b'toch beiti. You can't say, oh, look, these are about to get wasted. I'm going to quickly say, this is Truma Maaser on all the stuff I have in my house, so now I don't have Truma Maaserot. Why can't you say that? Because they're not actually yours, because they're Hefker at this point. V'mamar, and if he did say it, lo amar klum. And not only does it not work l'chatchila, it doesn't even work b'tiyevet. So what do they answer? K'da amar Rabbi Yirmiya, k'she ekel beit habad karucha leah. Just like Rabbi Yirmiya said in a different case, which we're going to see soon, he said this thing, which we'll say in a minute. We're going to say the same thing would apply to our Mishnah. What's the case? The Ekel Beit Habad, the Beit Habad is the olive press. So there was this basket that they had on top of the olive press that when you would smash the olives, they wouldn't fall out, so they would stay in. So we're assuming that there was this basket on it, in which case it prevented all of it from coming out. It would collect some of it, so not everything would spill out. Okay, so now according to this, okay, you can look at the chart. I charted it out. Okay, what do we have? We have that. We have our Mishnah, which is Kesha Ekel Beit Habad, and we have this other case where he was mafkir, where it's no Ekel Beit Habad, right? The whole thing is going to spill. So now, and one is right, not allowed at all, and the other is allowed entirely. In other words, our case is it's totally not hefker. So now they say, according to what you said about this source you brought in the Braita, if imamar lo amar klum, the fact that it doesn't even work b'di'eved, don't we have a source that says that b'di'eved it works to do truma masra like this? V'hatanya, mi shabah baderech u'ma'op yado v'anas kenegdo. You're walking on the street, you have money in your hand, and a guy comes and puts a gun to your head. Lo yomar hare perot sheyesh li b'toch beiti mechulalim al ma'od halalu. B'mamar dvarav kaimim. You can't say, this is going to be my pidyon maaser sheni, okay? But if you did, it works. Ah, so what do you say, right? This is like a pseudo-hefker, right? It works b'dievet. And the other brayta said it doesn't work b'dievet. So hacha b'mayaskina, what could be the case of this brayta where we're going to say b'dievet it works? B'shiyachol lahatzil. He thinks he can somehow save them. In other words, he hasn't given up on them yet. But if he hasn't given up on them, it's only partial, right? There's no such thing as partial hefker. Either it's owned by him or it's not owned by him. If he thinks he's still going to get it, then it's owned by him. If it's owned by him, he should be allowed to do the maaser this way. So what are the answers? It's like he can do it, but it's going to be very difficult for him to get it back. So therefore, we're going to say lechatchila no, but b'dievet yes. Are we going to say now, according to this, that if there's a hefsed, that you're going to lose it, then lechatchila you can't? V'hatanya, we have another case, another brayta. Hare shayulo eser chaviyot shel tevel tameh. He had 10 barrels of tevel tameh. That means, right, it wasn't truma maaserot weren't taken, and it was tameh. Okay, which means that the kohen can't really do anything with it. Right, you see one's broken, you say this will be my truma maaser. But the shemen you can't do it. With the yayin, what happens? If the yayin is tameh, there's nothing the kohen can do with it. But shemen, he can burn it. He can use it for a fire, okay, to kindle a fire. So therefore, you can't do it. But what do you see here? That he can do it lechatchila. Right? And we just said you can't. With the yayin, he can do it lechatchila. He can say this is going to be, even though it's going to be lost. So now this is where Rabbi Yirmiya said, Rabbi Yirmiya, k'she ekel beit habad karucha lehem, meaning he wasn't going to lose all of it because there was this, the basket was on it. So now they say, wait a minute. Bishlama shenishbira, chazya. We understand the oil, there's something ra'oy. Now we're just asking about this brayta. How could you say the shemen lo yasek him ipnei tefsei kohen? So if it's broken and you're going to catch some of it in the Ekel Beit Habad, we understand. Ela nitgalta l'may chazeh. But if it was open, what's the issue with open? This is that thing about the snake. If it was left open all night, there's a concern, there's five mashkim, that if you leave open overnight, there's a concern that the snake put his poison in. And therefore, what's it going to be ra'oy for? Nothing. The kohen can't use it for anything if the snake put his poison in. V'chitem echazeh l'ziluf. Maybe it's still ra'oy for... people would pour the shemen on the floor, like it was this process they would do. And I don't know if it was cleaning exactly or whatever. I think it was to, I forget exactly, but they would pour it out onto the floor. The hatanya, it doesn't work either to say that, because mayim shenitgalu haveza lo yishpachem b'rushad arabim, v'lo yigabel b'metatit, v'lo yirbat b'metabayit, don't use it for the cleaning process in the house. That's what we're talking about, the ziluf. V'lo yashkemehem b'emto, v'lo behemach chadero, because... it's dangerous, even, right, with this poison of the snake, even if you pour it on your floor, still someone might step on it and get the poison in them. So So now what do they answer? De'avar laba masnanet, ki Rabbi Nechemiah. It's a case where he poured it out. In other words, the yayin went through it was open, or the shemen, sorry, it went through some sort of
strainer.
And like Rabbi Nechemiah, Titania, masnanet yesh ba mishum giloy. According to Tanakama, even if you put in a masnanet, it's still a problem there, right? This is all like, does the poison go through the strainer or not? Amar Rabbi Nechemiah, ematai bizman shatachtona megula. Okay, the assumption here is that we have a strainer. This is what they would do with wine also, right? They put it in a bag, and then underneath was another thing, right? So it would go into a bottom one. So now what if, right, if the tachtona was revealed, then you're right. It has a problem. But if the tachtona was covered, and it went through in the masnenet, af al pi shel yona megula, ein bo mishum giloy, lefi she'eres shel nechas domei lesfog, v'tzafa omei bimkomo. When the eris comes into the wine that was revealed, that was open, or the shemen, it floats to the top, and everything that goes through, right, it doesn't go through with it. So they say, wait a minute. Lavi tamar ala, amar abis simon, amar Yeshua ben Levi. Lo shanu ala shalo tarko. That's only if you didn't mix it up, right? That's if it falls in there, so it's going to stay at the top. But if you start mixing it around, then what's going to happen, right? Aval tarko asur. So now, what's the story here? Here, you're going to put it through a masnenet to basically save the shemen. But if the stuff, as soon as you pour, everything gets mixed up. And then it's going to go through the masnenet, right? The assumption is it doesn't go through the masnenet as long as it floats at the top. But once you start mixing it around and you pour it, the eris is going to go through. So now, what do they say? They say, Hatamnami demanach midi apuma de chavita de shafele. It's where you put like an extra, like a cheesecloth, on top of the masnanet, and then the eris won't go through that, okay? And therefore, it's okay. So last thing, Rabbi Nechemiah mitarminan. Does Rabbi Nechemiah really say, though, if you're going to say that this whole thing holds like Rabbi Nechemiah, who says that this masnanet is, right, the eris isn't going to go through, even if you mix it up, because you're going to put something on to make sure it doesn't go through. And therefore, the shemen is ra'oi for something. So now they say, but wait a minute, mitarminan. We got a separate problem. What was the whole thing here? Remember our case. Okay, I have to go back to the beginning. It was tevel tameh. Now, what do you want to do? You want to take from the tevel tameh on the other tevel tameh, right? The 1 out of 10. You want to take your truma. But, and if you remember, we have this whole thing. You can't be toreh min atahor ala tameh, min atameh ala tahor. This should be okay, though. Now, you can't, if you have stuff that's tahor and stuff that's tameh, you can't take truma from one onto the other. But this is tameh al tameh. It should work. But if you're going to say the whole thing is according to Rabbi Nechemiah, he has a unique shita that he doesn't even allow tameh ala tameh. So Rabbi Nechemiah mi tarmina v'hatanya tormi min atameh ala tameh min atahor ala tahor min atahor ala tameh aval lo min atameh ala tahor. But Rabbi Nechemiah omer af min atameh ala tameh lo itiru l'trom ela b'shal demai. Only case they allow tameh ala tameh is when it was safek tevel. It was a case where we're not sure did someone take truma to masrot or not on this. So what do they answer? So you'd have to say that our breita is also hachanami b'shal demai. Okay? That's the assumption. We'll stop here. The M part is just about maybe even the yayin is ra'oi for ziluf. Because what's ziluf? Ziluf is like you kind of sprinkle it. So the shemen they would sprinkle on the floor, the yayin they would sprinkle into the air to smell better. So then they're going to have to say, oh, it's talking about yayin that's new, which doesn't have a good smell. And, you know, and that's how they're going to try to answer up why the shemen is ra'oi but the yayin isn't.